Okay, God bless. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to get there eventually. Last week, we spent some time looking at some things regarding prayer. Praying together, praying with your brothers and sisters, praying with the fellowship, with your church, and some of the benefits of that. And for those of you who didn't listen to that, I'd encourage you to give it a listen, because it wraps up some of the things that we were considering regarding prayer. Because this morning, we're going to start considering some things regarding fellowship and the grace that God has given regarding fellowship, our fellowship with one another. One of the things that we did last week was consider the verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm going to read it again here. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And we spent some time considering how that we fight against these spiritual powers, powers that we can't even see, powers that we are unequipped to deal with or handle, let alone stand. And that if we're going to stand against the powers of darkness, if we're going to stand against the wiles and the methods of the adversary, we're going to need to do it being equipped by God. And one of the great things that God has done in His grace, one of the great ways in which He has equipped us to be able to do this, is to place us in this body of Christ, to have brothers and sisters to stand together with. Each one of us has been gifted by God. Each one of us has a specific function to perform in this body of Christ. We're gifted to supply something to the growth and the health of each member, and hence the body of Christ. God, in His wisdom, in His great wisdom displayed in Christ, has placed us in this family, in this church. And to think that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the adversary, to stand against spiritual powers that we can't even see, without the help of brothers and sisters who are in this with us, is sheer folly. It's a fool's errand. And I've seen this over the years, that Lone Ranger mentality is a deceit. And it really leads to a falling away. It leads to a hardening of the heart, and it leads to a blindness that would otherwise not happen if that fellowship with like-minded saints, with brothers and sisters who love Jesus Christ, if that fellowship were maintained, would be prevented. And we're going to consider a little of that as we get into this. We have the great common bond of Jesus Christ. That's what binds us together. We're going to spend eternity with one another. One of the things that Jesus Christ prayed in His prayer, which you can read in John 17, is He said, "This is eternal life, to know You, to know God, and to know His Son, Jesus Christ." this fellowship, this church, are men and women that we are going to spend eternity with, getting to know God and getting to know Jesus Christ. And what fellowship should be and what it should look like are glimpses of what that is going to be like. It is a getting to know God and a getting to know our Lord Jesus Christ together. It's growing together in the knowledge of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a helping one another to get to know God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, as we look at this, we're going to see that to really know Jesus Christ is to get to know your brothers and sisters who have been gifted by God in Christ. This is a great, great, great grace that God has set up for the saints to be a part of and to tap into. I wanted to read another verse that we read last week, and we may read this a few more times before we're done. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, now this is after the day of Pentecost, the church was young, but it says they devoted themselves, and we'll spend a few minutes with this word devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, we've spent some time thinking about the Word of God and spending time with the apostles' doctrine. We've also considered some things regarding prayer, devoting ourselves to prayer, private prayer, praying with one another. Here, one of the things that's listed is fellowship. It's fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. It wasn't something that was just simply an event on a Sunday morning. It was something they were devoted to. That means they planned for it. They thought about it. They prepared for it. If I'm devoted to a sport, athletics of some kind, I grew up playing baseball, there was a certain devotion to that. What if I didn't feel like practicing? I practiced. That's what devotion is. What if I don't feel like reading the Word? What do I need to do? I need to read the Word. I devote myself to the reading of the Word, to the apostles' doctrine, so to speak. In like manner, we devote ourselves to fellowship. Fellowship with our brothers and sisters. It's something that I commit myself to. It's something that I think about, I prepare for, I pray about and pray for. It is something that is that I order my life around. Okay? That fellowship with the saints, along with reading the Word, along with prayer. We order our lives around these things. That's what devotion looks like. This is one of the great ways that we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ and His return. This fellowshipping with one another. And helping one another to grow in character, to grow more and more Christ-like toward that day. The word fellowship is from the Greek word koinonia. It means community or joint participation, communion. It is to fully share in something together. And the reason I wanted to point this out is because I think in some sense the word has been degraded somewhat. You know, we use fellowship, you know, I fellowshiped with somebody, meaning we had a conversation, or we spent a little bit of time together. But there's something much deeper to that word, fellowship. It is a joint sharing or participation in a thing. The understanding of it is much more than a friendship or just a relationship. It's common likes or interests, common attributes, common physical characteristics. None of those things come into play with this word fellowship. It's deeper. It is, have you ever been through something with somebody that only you two can relate to? Has anybody ever experienced anything like that? You married couples have, haven't you? And there's a fellowship that issues from that, isn't there? There's a fellowship that issues from having gone through something together where, man, it's just a look and you know. There's a trust that develops. See? That is more of what this word is communicating. You and I, what we share in common, what we have fellowship around, is Jesus Christ. It's not how we look. It's not the color of our hair. It's not because we like the same team. It's Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is around things like being delivered from death, having eternal life, going from hopeless to a hope. These are serious things. There's a fellowship in knowing that you and I are going to spend eternity together. And what the fellowship now should reflect, it should have a glimpse of the kind of fellowship, camaraderie, brotherhood that we will have in that day. And it's something that we grow in. See? Where again, our view, our outlook becomes more and more like the Master's. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it reads, you know, just for a moment, speaking of that word fellowship, there are many parts of the world where there is a fellowship in the danger to life itself, to the physical life, because of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, where the persecution is such that your life is sought for that. They kill you for that. Now, we don't have that here, praise God, but there are many parts of the world where they do. That is more toward this word, fellowship. See, because we're all in this together. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has come up short. Every one of us knows that we're not good enough for God. Every one of us knows that. And every one of us knows that the only reason we're saved is because of God's grace and because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See? There's a camaraderie in that. And it's real. It's heartfelt. There's a relating. I may not know every detail of your life. I don't know your likes or your dislikes, but there's a relating that happens. Have you ever been somewhere where you just ran into somebody and you found out they were a Christian? There's a relating that happens. It's unspoken sometimes. It's just, bro. You know? It's just, we're Christians. Yeah. See? Well, what we'll see as we go here is that in that body, in the church, it goes beyond that. And we as brothers and sisters, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, we seek to bless one another, to teach one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to hold one another up. And it's going to take some effort, it's going to take planning, and it's going to take some commitment. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It reads, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to take a few minutes with this. Boy, God has opened so many things to us through Jesus Christ. It's the access that we have to Him, the access in prayer, the access to His wisdom. You know, all of these things that we consider and that we look at, these, you know, habits of grace, these means of God's grace, all of it is by God's grace. And each one of us, again, back to what I opened up with, is gifted. We are gifted by God. Isn't that amazing? It's something. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It reads, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This day drawing near is the day when the darkness that we're surrounded with is no more. It's the day when our obscure view of Christ, of God, of the church, of one another, will be crystal clear. Because we're going to know even as we're known. Sin's presence, the cares of the world, the weakness of the flesh, all gone in that day, in the day of Christ. But until that day, we incite or encourage one another in growing more Christ-like in our lives. Yeah. And I want to mention this, that as we see the day approaching, I want us to see that not simply in terms of time. It is nearer now than when we first believed. But to see it in terms, and this may be a little difficult, I hope I can communicate what I'm thinking here, but to see it in terms of our character. In John 17, Jesus Christ prays that this is eternal life. Here it is. This is it. You ready? This is it. That they might know the Son and the Father. That's the gist of it. That they might know Thee, God the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, is what He prays in that prayer. As you and I avail ourselves to God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, by way of His body, by way of the church, we become more and more Christ-like. We learn and will see and understand more of who our God is, of who our Lord is. Do you understand? It's in the body of Christ that we see and understand and come to an understanding of the great love of Christ, it says in Ephesians. It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, each being gifted by God. So when I avail myself, when I get to know, when I spend my time with, when I pray for and pray with, all of you who have the Spirit of God, I see more and more of Jesus Christ, far more than I would ever see on my own, because your outlook is different. Your learning is different. Your experiences are different. How God works in you is different. Isn't that wonderful? And so you bring that to me. See? And I take that, boy, and I put it together with what I know, with what God works in me. And then I do the same for you. And it builds. See, that's what God's put together. It says somewhere in Ephesians that the principalities and powers, that they might know the multifaceted wisdom of God by way of the church. Isn't that cool? Why would we not want to put our efforts into that? Our time. Why would we want to withdraw from that? See? It says here that we are to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now this word consider in verse 24, it means to observe, to perceive, to discover. Okay? It's a concerted effort to look for ways to incite or provoke one another to love. What a powerful means of grace. Now, that's going to require getting to know one another, getting close to one another. Hence the word devoted in Acts 2. It's going to take a little devotion, isn't it? To think in terms of your brothers and sisters, to plan. You know, one of the things that comes up is preparing your heart for fellowship. How do you do that? Do you do that? Something to think about. Do you bring God into fellowship when you come? Meaning, have you maybe prayed? Just a question. See, what place does this thing hold? How do I prepare my heart to see God's people? That's a valid question. That's something that I can get better at. It might be something you can get better at. See? To provoke or to incite unto love. What a beautiful... You know, the world incites to hatred. The world incites to jealousy. The world incites to bitterness. It incites to all these things. We incite to what?
Love
and good works. That's a pretty good gig. Right? And it's because of that Spirit of God. And it's because of the grace of God. And so we come with that kind of thinking in our heads. We come prepared for that. See? I'm not going to accomplish that by withdrawing into my comfortable corner. And we all know what I mean by comfortable corner. It can be anything from somebody I'm comfortable with to me. I wanted to spend a few minutes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I wanted to read a little bit of the context of this. We incite one another to love and good works. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it reads, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." To really appreciate that, I want to read a little bit of the context of this. And in verse 1, it opens, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The reason why I wanted to read this is the Church of Thessalonica was really a model church. And you can learn about some of that in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. But what had happened is that there were those who had come in and were teaching that the day of the Lord, the judgment of God, had come and was coming, which is why they were enduring perhaps some of the persecution or whatever was going on in Thessalonica. And what Paul, by revelation, shows them is, look, when the Lord returns for the church, it's not going to be anything like the day of the Lord. That's chapter 4. We're going to meet him in the air. And then he goes on to explain in chapter 5 that we are not destined for wrath. Those who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord will not go through that day of the Lord or that period of judgment when Jesus Christ comes to judge. And so this is what he's speaking regarding. Verse 4 says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Then it says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. This keeping awake or watchful, we considered that last week in Colossians chapter 4, and it was referring to prayer, watching in the same with thanksgiving. So we're to be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. See? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up as you are doing. We are children of the day that live in the midst of children of the night. Now we are endeavoring, by example and by word, to help those children of the night become children of the day. But as long as we are among with the children of the night, we are going to need encouragement. We're going to need help. We're going to need one another. Or otherwise, what happens is the children of the day goes to sleep. And even though he's a child of the day, he starts to live like a child of the night. Do you understand? And that is one of the most beautiful functions of a fellowship, of a church, is to help one another, to encourage one another, to prevent that from happening. See? Because that has an effect eternally on that brother or sister. Hebrews 3 speaks about this. In verse 12 it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called what?
Today.
That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. the deceitfulness or hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sin will harden us. It will. Sin will harden a heart. And I've seen it. Sin will harden a heart, even of one who is a born-again one. It'll harden that heart to where they despise the Son of God. They despise Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That's darkness. See, we take care of one another so that doesn't happen. This is one of the big reasons why the adversary, why Satan, endeavors to cause division. He endeavors to cause division, division between people, to get people off on their own. Isn't that something? And the mind is a terrible thing sometimes. Sometimes living in your own head is just the worst. See? These are things to think about, I guess, huh? It's a great grace. It's a great grace that God's given us in the church that we should have the, as it says in 1 Corinthians, the same care one for another. James chapter 5 reads in verse 19, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Isn't that beautiful? To fight for one another. You know, we walk in this body of Christ with great forgiveness, but we also need to develop fearlessness in speaking up and speaking up in love and in meekness. In order to help or to prevent a saint from heading down a road that's not going to be a blessing. Do you understand that? I'm going to read, and I think we'll close here in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 15. And this is Paul's prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And it says, "For this reason," in verse 15, "because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named." And in case you're wondering, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. The fullness of him that fills who? All and in all. Do you see why outside of the fellowship of the saints, to get to know Jesus Christ is an exercise in futility? The means that God has given is the church, is the body of Christ, who fills all and in all. God has placed us in the body as has pleased him. He's given us one another as a means of his divine grace, his instruction. It is in the fellowship and the relationship with the members of the body that we see Christ. I'll go so far as to say, and you've heard this before, if you want to get to know Jesus Christ, get to know your church. Get to know your brothers and sisters. And when this communion is real, when it's true, that depth of love for one another grows, and it is by way of that love that others will know that we are disciples of who? Of Jesus Christ. Okay? Say amen? All right, I'm going to pray. Father, I want to thank you for these things that you've given us. It's just amazing. It's breathtaking, really. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to grow in these things, to walk in these things, for the privilege, Father, of getting to want to know one another and to love one another, to pray for one another and pray with one another. Thank you, Father, for this amazing thing you've called us to and for the great hope that you've set before us and for the wonderful spirit that you've placed within us, which enables us, Father, to grow more and more Christ-like in our lives, in our walks, as we look forward to his return. Thank you for these things in his name. Amen.